strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring. Unspeakable, unutterable, inexpressible. A Good Omens story. Relationship, Aziraphale Crowley. Rating, explicit. Written by Lupagus. Read by Quiet Knight. Author's note. The working title for this fic was, Aziraphale is going to get a good grade in sex, something that is both normal to want and possible to achieve, if that gives you any indication what sort of story this is going to be. Chapter 1. So, Aziraphale said, plopping himself down in the chair opposite. Urophilia. Crowley glowered at him from behind the safety of his third-best sunglasses and his mug. Footnote. Nina had set one aside for him after a while, since he didn't mind the permanent stains that had developed along the inside.
Pretty sure those are scorch marks, actually, on the outside. What did you do to it?
He hadn't slept last night. He rarely needed to these days, preferring to spend the time lounging in bed, pretending to sleep, so that Aziraphale would join him. Yet it was somehow still too early for this.
No, he attempted.
I know we neither of us go in for the more, granular human bodily functions, said Aziraphale, without even the slightest hint of listening.
Crowley took a certain amount of comfort in the fact that he still found this annoying as, well, his former employer's residence. He'd worried, in a vague sort of way, that if Aziraphale came back and they worked things out, became a proper us, that he'd start thinking everything Aziraphale did was wonderful. But even true love had its limits, thank, well, his other former employer's residence.
Did I ever tell you I tried defecating once? Terribly awkward business. I had to make an anus and everything, but Cicero was very obliging in teaching me about the stick.
Footnote. Roman public toilets were just that. Men would gather to have a bowel movement and a chat, cleaning themselves off with a sponge on the end of a length of wood. Hence the phrase, getting the wrong end of the stick, something decidedly less pleasant when taken out of its metaphor. Conversations with Aziraphale tended to fall into one of three categories. Either he was happy to burble along with whatever Crowley wanted to talk about, in which case they'd go for hours or days at a time, or he was in a pet about something, in which case he'd be drier than the desert outside Eden, and Crowley could count himself lucky to escape without injury to his pride or person. Or he was like this, in which case Crowley's participation was purely decorative. Still, they were getting some stares. Nina hadn't started tutting yet, but she would do soon.
I'm not pissing on you, he said, firm. And vice versa.
Oh, all right, Aziraphale huffed, pulling out his spectacles and wrapping the temple tips fussily around his ears.
He peered down at the magazine he'd apparently brought with him. Even from here, Crowley could see some illustrations. They were illustrative.
What?
He said, with the conviction that he would regret it.
Is that?
It's Kinks and Fetishes, an A to Z guide, Aziraphale said, handing it over with all the glee of a dog showing off a rotted tennis ball it had found in the back garden.
I've been doing more research, you see. Apparently there's all sorts of sex we could be getting up to. I truly had no idea there were so many.
He waved his other hand around vaguely.
Configurations!
Does Glamour even have a print edition anymore?
Crowley asked, thumbing through the pages. There were a lot of illustrations.
Not as such, Aziraphale admitted, but Muriel found it for me on the World Wide Web.
Don't call it that, Crowley sighed.
And you know how I dislike reading off of those mobile telephonic view screens, he continued, making a moue of distaste.
Don't call them that.
So I made my own, as it were.
Under tentacles, there was a stern reminder that you shouldn't have sex with octopuses. Footnote. Accompanied by a picture of a young woman doing exactly that.
Angel,
he started, then paused.
Vicarphilia?
I thought it had something to do with priests and things, but apparently not, Aziraphale said, leaning over the table to point out the next one. What about whipping?
No fetishes I could have done during my last job,
Curly decided, shutting the magazine.
In a, you know, non-fetishy way.
Ew, that knocks several of these off the list, then, said Aziraphale as he took it back. He retrieved a fountain pen from his pocket and began crossing things out, brow furrowed in concentration.
What about humiliation, kink?
No. And the rest of it was just the odd muttering. Crowley caught Nina's eye and made the gesture. She sighed, but came over to take Crowley's mug for a refill.
There are children here, you know, she said.
There aren't any children here,
Curly disagreed, which was true. There were two babies in strollers on the other side of the cafe, and a gangly adolescent behind Aziraphale, who'd been slack-jawedly trying to read over his shoulder. Those didn't count.
There are children in the world, Nina countered. I'm just making an observation.
This is all your fault,
Crowley pointed out.
I don't see why I should have to suffer all by myself.
Aziraphale looked up, blinking, and noticed Nina's presence.
Oh, hello, he said, then leaned toward Crowley again. Speaking of, though, are either of you interested in...
He hesitated, and Crowley entertained high hopes that perhaps shame might stop him. But no. Aziraphale glanced back down at the magazine, brightened, and exclaimed, "Cuckolding!" loudly enough to turn the heads of most of the clientele. Nina sighed again and wandered off. Crowley vanished the magazine out to the Tadfield Library, where Anathema would probably find it and use it on that poor straggly man she'd married, before bullying Aziraphale out of the cafe. He didn't like the looks of some of the other customers. They were either about to start shouting or, worse, volunteering. It had been Nina's fault, Nina and Maggie. They'd been almost as pleased as Crowley when Aziraphale finally removed his head from his specially made anus and came back down to earth. Footnote. Granted, they never noticed the whole second coming bit and how close everything had come to ending, again. But if humans had any particular specialty, it lay in not noticing the things that would result in them screaming until their throats bled.
You clearly just needed some time apart to see how good you are together.
Maggie had cooed while making cow eyes at them both.
And see, now everything's right as rain. What does that mean, please?
Muriel had asked, at which point Nina had done something actually useful and dragged both her wife and her ersatz child off and away. She'd left a small cardboard box on the desk, though, and winked unsubtly at them on her way out. Crowley had followed them to the door and locked it behind them, putting a few hexes across the threshold for good measure. When he turned around, Aziraphale was examining the box thoughtfully.
"Condoms," he'd announced. "Extra ribbed, whatever that entails."
"What's she have them for?" Crowley had asked, sauntering back over. "That's one of the paraphernalia she and Maggie wouldn't get much use out of, I'd have thought."
"I believe it's meant as a present,"
Aziraphale had said, waving the box at him. There was a bow on one side, one of those cheap, plasticky ones you get on presents from distant relations around Christmas.
"For us!"
Crowley had snorted and leaned over to find the bin under the desk.
"Here you go,"
he'd said, offering it up. Aziraphale had clutched the thing like it was a firstborn baby, and he was back in the middle of Pyramuses without a bucket of lamb's blood to his name.
"It's the first present we've ever been given as... as a couple," he protested. "We can't just dispose of it."
"What's your idea, then?"
Crowley had said, stupidly, instead of pointing out how vanishingly unlikely it was that Nina would ever find out.
"You want to use them?"
And that's when Crowley should have expected disaster, because Aziraphale had given him the startled, wide-eyed look that had always spelled trouble, even before there was much of a written word.
Now there's a thought.
Crowley had never considered it. He tempted humans into sex all the time, of course. One of the easier jobs, really, since they were often ready to go at the drop of a hat. He'd even partaken in the odd copulation or two, especially toward the beginning of Earth, when the only drugs to be had were the ones bodies made themselves. Footnote. Crowley had tried every drug invented over the past 6,000 years, mostly out of a reluctant admiration for the human capacity to fuck up their own livers or brains in search of a reality a few doors down from this one. Nothing had ever stuck with him, other than alcohol. He still fondly recalled the first fermented apples he got riotously drunk on with Mahalalel and Dinah and a few enterprising camels, but he did harbor a passing regret for the decline of Mandrake. But he'd quickly found sex to be a lot like food, vital for most humans, but not much more than a way for him to pass the time during a particularly boring stint in some benighted backwater or other. Footnote. Like the Kingdom of Aram Damascus during the reign of Haziel, or the American Midwest at any time, he'd invented Kansas barbecue out of desperation as a way to stave off boredom, and lure Aziraphale to America, something he'd been sniffy about ever since that row he'd had with Benjamin Franklin. He'd enjoyed himself, but the hunger wasn't there. Not even for Aziraphale. He loved him, wanted to curl himself into Aziraphale's lap or around his shoulders, and trade all the soppy endearments he'd always skipped while watching films, sometimes while at the cinema, which caused a nice bit of irritation and complaints amongst fellow filmgoers. He even enjoyed kissing, the way Aziraphale would present his cheek for a quick peck any time they parted now, the slow brushes of their lips when they were in bed together, even the playful snogging he'd go to Aziraphale into when they were in public, just to be a tit. Sex just didn't seem all that interesting. But once Aziraphale got something in his head, it was generally safest to let him get on with it and enjoy whatever havoc he ended up wreaking. Big fan of havoc, Crowley, and wreaking. So, of course, it all went pear-shaped almost immediately. They'd been having a perfectly pleasant morning at the bookshop. Aziraphale had been reading The Joy of Sex and ignoring all of Muriel's questions about what he was reading. Crowley had been reading Twitter and ignoring all of Muriel's questions about what he was reading. And Muriel had been asking a lot of questions, in between cheerfully forbidding people from coming into the shop and packing up the rest of their inventory. Footnote. During the 3 years of Aziraphale's absence, Aziraphale had become disturbingly popular, due largely to having a proprietor who was friendly, enthusiastic, and willing to let people through the door. Muriel had quickly learned that while the books already in residence were for hoarding, not selling, there was nothing preventing them from buying more books and then selling those. Upon Aziraphale's return, Muriel's new job had been to start a rival bookshop across the street to draw off the customer base. It wasn't until Muriel had hauled the last of the boxes out the door that Crowley nudged Aziraphale with his foot.
"You want to try that new place down the road?"
he asked.
"Reviews are saying the Rista will melt your tongue to the roof of your mouth. Seems promising."
Aziraphale looked up, briefly distracted. First, I thought we ought to discuss genitals. I've been doing some research."
"I've noticed,"
Crowley said. He had. Aziraphale's nightstand had stacks of books with such titles as The Art of Intimacy and How to Make Love in 101 Easy Steps. Crowley had woken up this morning with What and Why is an Orgasm? Digging into his spine. "Yes, and it seems like the most common configurations are a penis and a vagina, which I recall from Eve and Adam, the first one, I mean, but there are some rather intriguing options for two penises or two vaginas. And then, of course, there are a range of other genitals, although there aren't as many books about those. But I wondered which way you were leaning, as it were. I have diagrams," he added, brightly. Crowley squinted.
"That's nice,"
he said, because Aziraphale seemed to be expecting something.
"But I've already got one."
"One what?"
"A cock,"
he said.
"Haven't you seen it?"
He was vaguely surprised at himself. It seemed like the sort of thing he'd have shown off at some point. This was what came of miracling yourself into pajamas every night.
"So you already have a penis?"
Aziraphale demanded, straightening up like an affronted pigeon. Since when?
Crowley tried to remember. Turn of the 19th, I think?
He ventured. There'd been a fountain, and a lot of wine, and Jane challenging him to see which of them could hit the fish statue in the middle. Footnote. Neither of them had, and it had nearly gotten them arrested, all the more so since they'd been in Spain at the time. Afterwards, he'd kept it. It was fun, being able to take a piss if he felt like it. Not to mention, you could stir up a lot of trouble in public toilets if you were in a mood. Footnote. With or without an anus?
Really?
Aziraphale looked halfway between surprised and intrigued.
That long?
Don't, he added immediately, before Crowley could do much more than grin and open his mouth.
But don't you find it a bit floppy? I've been looking at various models, and they all seem very weakly.
A bit, Crowley admitted. But they do amazing things with underpants these days.
Aziraphale laughed, the startled hiccup he gave sometimes when he wasn't quite ready to be out of his sulk. It was one of Crowley's favorite noises.
Very well, he said, standing up and adjusting his waistcoat, before turning to face Crowley. Let's have a look.
What? No,
said Crowley, scrambling to his feet. He never had much sense of modesty, but Aziraphale was eyeing him like the queen getting ready to inspect the troops.
Why not?
Aziraphale whinged, his lower lip puckering dangerously near a pout.
Are we going to have to take our clothes off when we have sex? Unless, actually, I think that's on the list of kinks, you know, sex with your clothes on. But it seems rather awkward, not to mention you'd have to get everything cleaned afterward, although I do have a rather good dry cleaner.
He made the inverted commas with his fingers and everything.
Who's an absolute miracle worker?
He paused. Well, not a real one. At any rate, come along. Crowley, who'd had millennia of practice in following Aziraphale's careening monologues, was still halfway through undoing his belt before his brain caught up.
I'm not pulling my cock out in the middle of your bookshop,
he said, with absolutely perfect timing, since Muriel chose that moment to come bustling back in. They stood, frozen for a moment, blinking at both of them as they clutched at the doorframe.
I think I, heard a noise.
They smiled and backed out slowly.
I should go and check on the noise, because noises are sometimes indicators of...
Whatever else they were saying was lost with the slamming of the door.
Small mercies,
Aziraphale muttered and gestured. The sign on the door flipped to closed, and the door locked with a pointed flourish.
Now then.
Angel,
Crowley sighed, but let himself be dragged upstairs to their bedroom. Aziraphale even made a big fuss about closing the blinds.
Honestly, I didn't think you would turn out to be the prudish one, he said,
the twinkle in his eye letting Crowley know just how much he was enjoying himself.
You know snakes are supposed to have two of these,
he said, but unbuckled his trousers and pushed them down his thighs, along with his briefs. His cock bobbed free, and he lifted his shirt so that Aziraphale could look his fill. But, of course, he didn't just want to look.
Oh, that's actually rather lovely,
he said, sitting down on the bed and holding one hand out tentatively, as though Crowley's cock was an easily startled cat.
May I?
Noting Crowley's puzzled expression, he scowled.
Consent is very important, Crowley.
Consent given, I suppose,
Crowley said, a bit mystified. He was fairly sure Aziraphale wasn't about to offer him a handjob. He'd said something yesterday about still being in the preliminary stages, but somehow he felt annoyed with himself for not predicting what happened next. Which was Aziraphale whipping out a fucking sewing tape and wrapping it around his cock.
4 inches and 1/8, he announced, before frowning. Or perhaps we should measure while it's erect. That would probably be more relevant.
Relevant, of course,
Crowley said, nodding.
Relevant to what?
Just trust me, dearest,
Aziraphale said, blinking appealingly up at him.
All right.
He concentrated. It had been a while since he'd done this, but there was a knack to it.
Ah, interesting. 5 inches and, Call it 3/16", said Aziraphale. I see you went for a circumcised model.
I thought it'd be tidier,
Crowley said, as Aziraphale put the tape around the head of his cock. It felt a bit weird, like the world's most awkward tailoring session. But Crowley had done far stupider things than this to get Aziraphale's attention.
You remember Warlock?
Good lord, yes. Aziraphale shuddered theatrically, which was a bit rich considering he'd never been the one who had to give that child a bath and explain very patiently that, yes, he had to clean all of his bits. Though, did you hear the dear boy's been accepted to some very prestigious university in America? Georgia University or something. Apparently it's one of the states. Crowley had heard, or rather read. Nanny Ashtoreth was still on the Dowlings' semi-annual Family Update email chains. Footnote, one of Crowley's better inventions. With his relocation to America, Warlock's enthusiasm for football had morphed, with outsized pressure from his father, into a more reserved enthusiasm for American football, although his native talent, with outsized donations from his father, had landed him a spot as a kicker, whatever that was. The last email had included a picture of him with his new teammates, right next to a giant of a teenager, with hands like shovels, and a broad, oddly familiar face. Footnote. Warlock had been surprised to find himself roommates with someone else born in England, although Johnson had been raised in some tiny little town he'd never heard of, not London proper. Still, he was nice enough, and one of the best fullbacks the Bulldogs had ever recruited from out of state. He'd even gotten Warlock interested in his tropical fish, one of whom was named Adam, because it reminded Johnson of this kid he knew back home, small and ordinary-looking, but able to boss all the other fish in the aquarium around.
I just hope he remembers to clean under the foreskin, is all I'm saying,
Curly said, and was rewarded by Aziraphale tutting at him disapprovingly, with a smile on his face.
From your lips to God's ears, indeed.
He ran the tape along the length of Crowley's cock.
7¼ inches? Though I'm not sure where I'm supposed to stop, as it were. Thank you, dearest.
If I were to guess,
Crowley said, wincing as he let his cock soften. Not the worst sensation, but an oddly disappointing one.
You use whichever measurement makes it sound the biggest.
You're probably right,
Aziraphale said. Then shooed him back down to the bookshop, so they could open for a desultory hour or so. Crowley had to scare off 3 customers before announcing that he was going to lunch, with or without his beloved. It had the intended effect, and they were sitting down at Taste of Jaipur a few minutes later.
"What do you want to measure it for, anyway?"
Crowley asked, after they'd ordered. It was late enough that they had one corner of the restaurant to themselves, even without a miracle, and whatever a waiter might overhear couldn't possibly be weirder than what he heard of a typical Tuesday in Soho. Aziraphale was eyeing a plate of garlic naan coming out from the kitchen, probably wondering if he should have got some.
What?
Oh, that, he said, finally turning back to Crowley.
I wanted to find out what sort of room, I suppose, I should make. You see, I thought I'd try.
And he waggled his fingers excitedly as if he were about to do one of his blasted magic tricks.
A vagina! What do you think?
Sounds neato,
said Crowley, adding the garlic naan to their order and an extra mango lassi.
Oh, please don't quote Warlock right now,
Aziraphale said, smiling, and Crowley wondered how sex could be better than this. Teasing and bickering and being together until the ending of the world, which they'd both done a great deal recently to ensure remained a long way off.
I'm quite looking forward to it. Eve always said it was delightful, aside from the bleeding, and I suppose I oughtn't make myself a uterus.
Unless you?
Unless me what?
Crowley asked, trying not to laugh.
Suppose it wouldn't even count as a fetish, really. Don't women go through that every few weeks? Can't imagine anyone would mind having sex with someone who was menstruating.
You would be surprised,
Aziraphale said dryly, topping up their wine glasses. I will say it seems rather messy, but sex as a whole is a bit of a mess. I can't think how humans manage without putting a top down every time, given the fluids they expel.
So?
Crowley reviewed the conversation. Right. Apparently Aziraphale wanted him to vote on whether or not he should menstruate.
I think this is one of those my body, my choice things, Angel.
True, said Aziraphale, frowning off into the distance and almost overflowing Curly's glass.
I'm not even sure if I could get pregnant, although apparently there's something called a breeding kink, which I really don't.
Curly took the bottle away from him and kissed him, because anything else was absolutely intolerable. Aziraphale made a surprise noise against his mouth, and Curly swallowed it down, greedy, his favorite sin when it came to Aziraphale. Hopefully the fine people at Taste of Jaipur wouldn't throw them out.
You're so... he managed between kisses. So...
what?
Aziraphale murmured, tugging lightly on Crowley's scarf to pull him further in, as if Crowley was going anywhere.
You're so... weird!
Crowley told him, fond and foolish, and Aziraphale's smile outshone all the legions of heaven. The end.